When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brennan's View condos are presented by Irish Realty. Only a few luxury units remain. Tailgate on the Brennan's View's rooftop deck, just steps from Eddy Street Commons and the Notre Dame campus. Take advantage of a $2,500 buyer's upgrade package through the end of November. Check out brennansview.com or irishrealty.net.
What's going on, folks? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde with this week's Notre Dame football show here on our YouTube channel, Pod Like a Champion, for those folks listening via podcast. And this show is brought to you by Brennan's View Condos, presented by Irish Realty. So, Tim, it's a Wednesday night, and there is a lot to talk about in the world of Notre Dame football, wouldn't you say?
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's been wild since we did that live show you put together within 15 minutes when Drew Pine hit the portal. It hasn't stopped, but this is college football until it changes again, correct? So this is what it is. It's just going to be wild madness, playoffs. Can't wait to get the 12-team playoffs. That's just going to be even wilder. Porthole, who's going? I mean, that's going to be crazy come that December of 2024. So we'll be there before we know it.
I've come around on that, by the way. I'm coming around on the 12th team. I like it.
It's going to be.
We had a good debate the other week about it, but yeah, I'm for it now. I'm excited about it.
I like it. I like it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Just real quick on that, because there's going to be, you know, you want to talk about upsets. There's going to be the seven seed, say Alabama one year, right? That loses two games like they did this year. They may have to play a road game or something, and then they're going to face a higher ranked team. But if it's a neutral site, it's a neutral site. And by the way, I saw that the AD at Michigan came out today trying to get those quarterfinal games to be home games. So SEC said no. So that's going to be the next battle. Because the SEC knows their number two and three teams are going to be top 10 teams. Only one of them is going to be in the top four. Alabama this year would host, and then the next week, let's say they play TCU, the three seed. Do they want to play TCU at TCU or in a bowl game site? So, and like Michigan, what if it's December 20th, right? And it's a snowstorm. Does Tennessee want to go there? Heck no. So that's going to be that. I just saw that today in the Atlantic. So the big breasts is already starting to argue about the next point. Never ends with those guys.
Atlantic or the Athletic?
Oh, the athletic. It's one of the A's.
well, folks, appreciate you joining live with us or watch back or listening on podcast. If you're on YouTube, please do hit the thumbs up on this video. Really does help support what we're doing here. And you can also subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any content that we have here on our Blue and Gold YouTube page. And if you're watching live with us, you can drop a super chat and we'll get to any questions you have as soon as we can. Or if you're watching back, you can drop a super thanks, which is if you just want to support what we do and drop a comment on a video, you can leave us a few bucks, basically like a tip. If you want all of the latest information on Notre Dame football and recruiting, and Tyler does an amazing job covering women's basketball and Patrick men's basketball, and get all of that at blueandgold.com. Tyler and Patrick will be going down to Florida to cover the bowl game. So we'll have good video coverage and written coverage on our website. So, Tim, let's go to our best of the week. I'm going to go first, if you don't mind. I'm going with two. Ashton Pollard always did not like when I went with two, but I'm going to go with two. This is our video that we did that me and WSBT's Darren Pritchett did. Look at this amount, look at these page views or these views on this video, 42,000. And if you go read the comments, it's mainly just people yelling at me, but Colorado fans or Deion Sanders fans, whatever. Hey, we'll take it. We'll take the angry views.
I need to go. I've not, you know, because I love your interviews with Darren. I watched all that one I've not seen.
42,000 on a video just with the news of Colorado offering Dylan Edwards. And I accidentally called Deion Sanders Deion Edwards because I'm producing the video and being interviewed, and it just slipped. And so I got a lot of hate for that. But, hey, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Oh, I love it.
The second wanted to mention this young man. We don't have a dedicated segment to talk about him, but I wanted to throw in that four-star athlete, Brandon Hillman, from the Virginia Beach area, committed to Notre Dame. So that's a four-star athlete, and man, what a pickup for the Fighting Irish. You can watch our video that we recorded actually after last week's show. Tim and I recorded late and then obviously posted right when he committed. So, yeah, any quick thoughts on this big news, Tim?
Yeah, go watch our video. I mean, we raved about him, had a nice little video breakdown with him. Outstanding athlete. I mean, some of these last second recruits that Freeman and them have gotten have been athletes trying to find spots for these guys, more speed on the field, guys to develop, find a home for them. And they're going to get some of these guys here. So it's exciting. He's a heck of a football player. You watch his video and you're like, yeah. Like I said, I love him at DB just because I think he is fast and just crazy aggressive to the football. And offensively, you put the ball in his hands, he's a playmaker. He's a hell of a football player.
Tim, I lied. I'm going with three super chats. Best thing. How about this? We hit 20,000 YouTube subscribers.
I saw that.
20,000.
Oh, that. That's awesome. That's huge. That's huge. That's going. I mean, like I told you, Mike, YouTube obviously blew up during COVID, people sitting at home, hanging out, watching things, going from there. And then I'll never forget staying up late, you know, out here on the East Coast, watching the Clemson game, just hanging out. Man, I was like so fired up, pumped up, pouring myself another little cold drink, started cleaning up the kitchen or whatever. And I was like, man, I got to just see what's, you know, who's out there talking. And sure enough, it's you and Mike Goolsby. I was like, Mike Goolsby, what the hell's he doing on YouTube? And obviously remembered him from his playing days. And stayed up and watched your entire Clemson show in 2020 and been a fan ever since. Yeah. I subscribed, did all that stuff that night in November. And here we are, you and I talking, Goolsby talking a ton as well. So it's been awesome. I mean, what were your numbers before that Clemson game? Like 2,500?
Yeah. So we started doing the post-game shows and all sorts of issues with, you know, this free service versus YouTube streaming, and you get what you pay for. And it was just a struggle. And then we found a finally good streaming platform. And that was our first week doing it, was the Clemson game. You know, obviously Notre Dame upsetting them in overtime, 47-40. And we wasn't a lot of traction. And then that one blew up. You know, we had like 400 live viewers, and I was like, holy crap. No one was doing this in the Notre Dame market. No one was doing YouTube stuff. You know, everyone's kind of, you know, followed us since. Yeah, now it's like that Drew Pine video we did last Friday. We had 1,000 live viewers. Like it's the Ohio State game. After that one with me, you and Goolsby, we had over 1,500. I mean, it's I seriously have so much fun. This is not working. This is just having fun. I have the best job. I've got the best job.
No, it's great. I mean, you and I obviously text. What do you want to talk about Wednesday? I'm like, it's Notre Dame football. Flip a coin. It's right. Like there's 48 things to talk about. And, you know, it's a blast. I love listening to you and Mike on Sunday nights break down the film. And obviously the live shows after games, those are not easy.
No,
they're
not.
Tim, what are your thoughts? I don't know. I just watched Notre Dame win by a field goal. I don't know. It's like trying to struggle to break it down, but I chart every play. Get some thoughts for those things. They're a blast. It's awesome talking Notre Dame football to everyone and all those that come in here, watch this live, comment. I love commenting back to people, chatting with people. It's an awesome Notre Dame community, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We got a super chat from Milton fan. Says anyone from Blue and Gold the portal. Mike Goolsby did tweet, "I'm entering the transfer portal." And then Nick responded and said, "Does Mike Singer know?" Someone was like, I was reading these comments, "Are you going to the Athletic?" I was just like, no, I think he's joking. Mike Goolsby is still with us.
Yeah, it's like, who's not in the thing? It's like, what is it? Over 1,000 players in the first 24 hours, I think I read. So it's like crazy.
Yeah, appreciate it, super chat, Milton fan. Tim, we'll go to your best of the week, which Notre Dame is in all of these, you know, first team All-American and whatnot. And CBS Sports had three Notre Dame players listed. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, and I saw Tyler just posted something on Blue and Gold as well, breaking down. I guess The Athletic came out with theirs as well. And Joe Alt on The Athletics and CBS, which I think is awesome. I'm a huge fan. He's had a hell of a season. It's going back to the spring football game, which you and I talked about live. I'm stunned he's up there. I thought some of these other big name guys, would be ahead of him. But I like the fact that he made two All-American teams. First team is awesome. Mayer, it just goes to show that the press believes in him, right? As good as Brock Bowers is at Georgia. Hey, you could have all the first teams next year, buddy. All right. Michael Mayer was consensus second team last year. So, and then obviously Foskey making the second team here on the CBS. I sent a message to Patrick today. Patrick Engel says tomorrow is the first of the five consensus ones that make up the main five. So the first All-American team comes out tomorrow. I believe the last one's usually the AP. So it'll be nice to see what these guys do. I hope Joe Alt had a hell of a year. I mean, great, highest graded left tackle and Pro Football Focus. He was a stud each and every game this year. So kudos to him. Awesome to see Michael Mayer. It's nice to see him not getting splits with the Georgia guy. And then tomorrow night, Mike, is the award show in a beautiful downtown Orlando, right? Where the Disney, where they do the ESPN award show. So Michael Mayer will be there. And I don't even want to watch it, because it's like, if he does not win the Mackey Award, it's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I may have to push pause and watch it real slow as they announce it.
I don't know if I should say this, but whatever. I know Joe Alt's father, John Alt. He texts me every once. I get a text from him every couple months, just with a screenshot of like Alt making this first team, whatever. And he's like, "Hey, Mike, you were on him first." I was like, "I don't know about that. I think Jeff Quinn should get credit before I do, but hey, I'll take it." I freaking love Joe Alt. I still haven't met him yet. But just great kid. I seriously have the best job.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sam, I tweeted today, last night I talked to Caleb Smith for the first time. Okay. Fantastic interview. Absolutely amazing kid. I'm just thinking to myself, I seriously have the best job. These Notre Dame players and recruits and the coaches and just all the people you get to interact with are seriously the best. It's the best. And I get to work with Tim Hyde and Horka and Engel and Goolsby. Couldn't be better.
I love it. I was going to say, obviously recruiting with Michael Mayer, he was, national All-American. Foskey out of De La Salle, national recruit. But it's like, take 30 seconds, because with Joe Alt's recruitment, that was the COVID, right? He never visited ND. And it's like, how did that come about? Was it just all Zoom meetings last second?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they offered the summer.
I'm going over you. I'm sorry, Mike.
No, they offered the summer before senior year. But yeah, it was COVID. So he took like a self-guided tour and Zoom calls and all that stuff,
He just went with the gut with Notre Dame over, what was it, Wisconsin, Iowa, correct? Were the other two big?
Iowa and Minnesota. I don't remember if Wisconsin I offered, but Minnesota, the in-state school, and then Iowa had done a pretty good job recruiting.
Yeah, and here is All-American. You sent the text last year against Purdue. You're like, Tim, Joe Alton at tight end. He's wearing, 48 or something?
45.
He's wearing 45. I'm like, oh, crap, he's in there.
Yeah.
And there you go. Rest is history.
All right, folks. Again, want to reiterate this amazing deal for folks maybe looking to live right by Notre Dame. Only a few luxury units remain. Brennan's View Condos presented by Irish Realty. Tailgate on the rooftop deck at just steps from Eddy Street Commons and the Notre Dame campus. Take advantage of a $2,500 buyer's upgrade package through the end of November. Folks, that is Brennan'sView.com. Head to the site and check it out. All right. Let's see. What do you want to talk about, Tim? How about this Gator Bowl matchup with Notre Dame and South Carolina? Just, Tim, any thoughts on this matchup? I don't know how familiar you are with the Gamecocks, but they seem to have a pretty good season. You know, they beat Clemson as well. So you got the, you know, the two teams here that beat Clemson this season.
Yeah, you know what? I watched the Tennessee game. I have the Clemson game saved. Just watched a little bit. Just I'm going to dive into that. But I watched their Tennessee game. Obviously, they just – hopefully they don't play like that. I mean, they came out – Spencer,
yeah.
I mean, you got two USCs, right? You got University of Southern Cal and University of South Carolina. They're almost one in the same. You got two Oklahoma quarterbacks leading them, correct, with Rattler and Caleb Williams, which is hilarious. I'm telling you, Mike, they got athletes everywhere. You know, who's playing? I have no idea. I know they have a corner who's going to be a first-round pick is sitting out. Ton of transfers. I think they had 20-plus transfers as well. Tons of them are on defense, just like Southern Cal had. So Southern Cal was horrible against the run. South Carolina is horrible against the run. So it's like two great quarterbacks. It's man, it's interesting. They have some dudes. They're very athletic. They've gotten hot, which is just – blows your mind after the way they played Florida. And I've only watched a couple highlights on that, like a 10-minute little highlight clip to get a feel. They were atrocious in that game, but then they beat Kentucky when they're ranked. You know, they have a bunch of cupcake wins early in the season. You know, they played, you know, a bunch of byes and got some W's, but they're playing an 8-4 team that's ranked ahead of Notre Dame and two back-to-back top 10 wins. It's huge. I mean, yeah. Notre Dame hasn't beaten two top 10 teams in the same year since 2012, the undefeated year. So it's a pretty awesome end of the season. How are they going to be 30 days after that Clemson game is going to be the interesting thing. And real quick, Mike, we talk about Notre Dame special teams.
Yeah.
South Carolina is in the top. They're fifth in punting, third in punt returns, sixth in kickoff returns. Notre Dame is 81st in kickoff. Remember, I'm always talking about kickoff return and block punts. They're only one behind Notre Dame. They are freakish on special teams. And you see that in some of the film I've watched. So I love it. It's an SEC game. It's an SEC, you know, team they're playing. You know, who the heck's playing for Notre Dame? You know, at least the two brands on that logo right there are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet. Someone posted a tweet. It's the first, you know, a ranked game in the Gator Bowl since 2006. I saw that. So that, I mean, there's always someone ranked, but the first time since 06, both teams are going to be ranked. So Carolina's only, you live down in that area. So in the South, they're only a few hours away. I heard, so I'm sure South Carolina is going to be packing that place. And then you got two young coaches, two energetic young coaches that will talk. I heard Coach Beamer, it must be South Carolina water, because him and Dabo will talk 20 minutes before they take a break at a press conference. And they're two interesting guys to listen to. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see how Notre Dame plays. And just real quick on that, I think the South Carolina, people were talking about bowl games. What's the motivation? South Carolina has won back-to-back top 10 teams. You think they want to go into recruits' home saying Tennessee, Clemson, and Notre Dame? Yeah, they're going to be jacked up for this football game, especially Rattler's going to be playing.
Yeah. Think about it. They pretty much ended Tennessee and Clemson's playoff hopes.
Oh, God, they're both in. Yes, they're in. Yeah, they're in. And Clemson, like I said, I haven't watched them much. I watched the whole Tennessee game, and those poor guys are just kicking themselves.
Yeah,
the Clemson game, from what I've read articles, they just had open shots, didn't take advantage of it, lost by one. It's one of those games Clemson's going to be kicking themselves out. They should have won by two touchdowns. They lose by one. They should be in the playoffs, which is crazy to think about after the way Notre Dame bludgeoned them.
Yeah. And on the Notre Dame side, super interesting, obviously, with Drew Pine entering the portal. He's not going to play in that game. But from what I'm being told – Tyler Buchner is not only going to play, I think he's going to be QB1. Like, he might play 100% of the snaps. Like, I can't say that certainty right now, but, like, I think he's going to be the guy. Whereas when Pine enters the portal, you're thinking it's going to be Angeli, and then they're not going to rush Buchner back. But to kind of move into the next part, previewing this game before we get into some transfer portal talk, and folks, please do hit the thumbs up on this video, is Tim, in terms of, like, how important this game is, which is, like, the headline of this video, is I want to talk about that, is, you know, do you like a youth movement? Is this a really important game? You know, building blocks for the off season. Like, what are your, kind of your thoughts about the importance of this matchup?
Well, I think it's important for Marcus Freeman. He doesn't want to go 0-2 in bowl games, no matter how, you know, you say that's important or whatnot on paper. You know, when the history books are written, it'll say 0-2. So they don't say, well, it was just, you know, so-and-so was out. But no, it's a big game. It's a big game for Notre Dame because it's SEC. Does Notre Dame want to go in the offseason on social media, get blasted by SEC teams? Oh, you can't even beat South Carolina, Notre Dame. You know, who wants to play for you guys? It's all those little, those new age type of stupidity that's out there in the world.
Yeah, it's not going to change. I mean, if Notre Dame loses it.
I know. I'm just tired. It's just a flutter in the talk and whatnot. I think it's, you know, in this whole youth movement is who? Because Notre Dame does have a lot of guys coming back, and they already play a ton of young guys. So it's who is the youth guys, I guess, is the question. And we don't know until we know who's not going to play. You know, Mayer, we know, is out officially, which, by the way, yeah, we already mentioned that. He announced today that he's officially going pro, so he's out of this game, which to me is fine. Evans is going to play. Evans has been playing all year, and they got the other guys to fill in, you know, there. So is this game, do they go more 11 personnel? Do they go more true three wides? Because even though they've been a 12 team, Mayer is really the third wide receiver in all season long, the way they've played him. So sure. Do they just go true 11, keep Evans as the one tight end? I wouldn't be surprised if we'd see that in the bowl game. And then as far as the youth movement goes, it's really it's one position, if you ask me, it's the guards. If Lug and Patterson don't play, because they've been selected, I saw Tyler Horka or Patrick Engel posted. They've been selected to the big two senior all-star games. So do they rest their old, tired, beat-up bodies and get ready for that? Or do they play? Because if they don't play, who in the heck is starting an offensive guard? That's a huge telltale as we get ready for 2023. I wouldn't be surprised if Adam Miola, you know, the D-tackle number 57, Jason, if he doesn't play, because he's been banged up the last month with the concussion and that. So if he doesn't play, Riley Mills could easily play three tech. Linebackers, those are all the seniors. That's the one, if you want to talk about a youth movement, would be, can Snead get some snaps in this game? All the DBs are pretty much playing outside of Cam Hart, who's out with an injury.
Sure.
What it sounds like.
Yeah. I'd throw Angeli in there, right?
Yeah.
Tobias Merriweather, but other than that.
Well, Tobias has been, the only reason why he hasn't played has been the injury thing.
Yeah, so, right.
You know, if he's, because I think before he got injured, he was getting more and more and more reps before that concussion hit. I think we would have seen him constantly growing this season. So, yeah, definitely would love to see him. It's guard. It really is offensive guard when you look at those two old dog vets there, and what are they going to do? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they play, because we really haven't heard nothing other than that's what they're planning on doing. So, I think they're in finals right this week, and they'll probably kick up practice this weekend, I would think, as they get ready for this game.
Well, speaking of youth movement, I'm pretty sure we're just going to go ahead and bring in a guest. How about that, Tim? Are the youngest staff member at Blue and Gold. Let's just bring him in. My man, Tyler Horka, making his debut.
I love it.
DJ Airhorn have going right now, but I don't have it queued up.
I'm not that much younger than you, Mike. Not that much.
The facts, Mr. Horka. Tyler, if you guys don't know Tyler, you probably should, because we do all the Notre Dame football update videos with Tyler. Just does a fantastic job, and wrote a really good article today, you know, your five top moments of Michael Mayer, which that probably should have been the best of the week. I should have had four.
I was going to say, if I was on earlier, it would have been mine.
Well, yes.
To show things that we did ourselves as our best of the week, but that would have been mine.
Tell us about that article.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet.
I need to pull it up here, but
I got it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, when Michael Mayer made his decision today, Patrick posted the news article. That was in the plans. We knew that this was coming. I think everybody knew that it was coming, so we had it pre-written. Patrick took Michael Mayer, and I said, well, what can I do as a premium piece to kind of supplement what Patrick wrote? And I said, well, he's had so many darn good moments at Notre Dame. Let's pick five of the best. And number five was the Florida State touchdown, opened the 2021 season. That was in the first couple minutes of the game, if you remember. Fourth and one, 41-yard touchdown. Yep. I was like, hello, Michael Mayer. This dude's for real. I can't wait to cover him this year. Number four, I had to slip in that Las Vegas video. I mean, everybody remembers it, right? When you think of Michael Mayer, you're going to think back on what he did with Isaiah Foskey and Marcus Freeman. 4 minutes of gold. You want to talk Notre Dame gold. That's it right there. I encourage everyone to rewatch that thing. Number three, y'all have to go back to the Toledo game last year. I mean, that game was nuts. Notre Dame is on the ropes against this MAC team. You think they're going to lose it, and then out of nowhere, Jack Cohn dislocates his finger, pops it back in. Oh, I guess that was number two. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, number two was the Toledo game. I mean, two and three interchangeable. Sure. And then number three, I picked the Clemson touchdown from this year where Notre Dame's winning 28-7. There's less than 5 minutes left. You don't think they're going to try to score another one. They're perfectly content with trotting Blake Groupie out for a field goal probably, hit your 30 points. You're going to win the game. Tommy Rees says, nah, let's throw a touchdown to Michael Mayer. And they do. It's executed perfectly. He's lined up in the backfield in that thing, comes out of the backfield, runs like a mini wheel route, scores a touchdown, crowd goes crazy. And then number one, I think this was the best game that he played in his career. Played 36 games, but what he did against BYU, breaking the receptions record in that game. He broke so many records this year, it's hard to say which one it was, but I'm pretty sure it was the receptions record. He hit 141 on a 24-yard touchdown. Great catch. Pine overthrows him a little bit. He goes up, makes the grab. He goes for 11 catches, 118 yards in that game. That's the most passes he caught in an entire game in his entire career. So, I mean, that was the impetus of that article was, let's celebrate this guy a little bit because I think he deserves that.
I mean, we write so many articles at Blue and Gold. So the deal right now is just $10 gets you access through the start of next football season. And Joey signed up this week. So, yeah, get on the message board, talk some Notre Dame football with us. And, yeah, we would love that. Tyler, on the bowl game, what are kind of your thoughts about some of the topics we've discussed, whether you want to go the route of Buckner, this – you know, youth movement thing, which I guess Tim kind of shut me down on that. That's already kind of happening. Just kind of previewing the matchup.
Yeah, I'll combine some of the things that you guys were talking about. Tim spent a lot of time talking about South Carolina. I think it's interesting that South Carolina, this will be the third game in a row where they get a unique quarterback situation for the team that they're playing against. You go back to the Tennessee game, that's where Hendon Hooker gets hurt. And if he doesn't get hurt, that's probably a different ball game. I know South Carolina took it to them early, but Tennessee still scores 38 points in their QB number one, a guy that probably would have been a Heisman finalist if he stays healthy the last two games of the season, goes down. You probably lose morale on that sideline. South Carolina ends up scoring 63 points. The next week, Tim talked about Clemson missing a couple shots. DJ Uiagalelei was 8 of 29 for 99 yards in that game. I mean, it was – pathetic quarterback play is what it was, and you've seen that from DJU a time or two. He could be brilliant, and then he can give you one of those stinkers. That's what he did, and Clemson still only loses by 1 point. So you have to wonder if Cade Klubnik is given a better situation of, hey, go in there inside your own 10 against Notre Dame on the road and try to do something with that. Say they put him in that South Carolina game, and they give him a couple drives. You saw what he did with a couple of drives against North Carolina in the ACC title game. He was almost perfect. 20 of 24 for 280 yards, three touchdowns, I think it was. So if you put Cade Klubnik in that game, South Carolina probably wins that game. And now you're playing Notre Dame, who is not going to start the guy that they've started for the last 10 games of the season. So I think South Carolina has been a little bit fortunate to play some of these teams that are interesting with these quarterback situations. But from a Notre Dame perspective, I think that's where the game is. You're not starting a guy that started the last 10 games at quarterback, and you're losing a tight end who had 101 targets this year. You know who the next closest guy on Notre Dame's roster is in terms of targets? Tim probably knows.
Oh, my God. It's got to be Styles early, right? Styles, yeah.
It's Lorenzo Styles, and he had 46.
40s, yeah. Oh, wow.
So you're losing by far the most important player in your offense, your passing offense for sure, and you're losing the guy who was throwing him the ball for most of those games. So I think it's going to be interesting. Now, here's the one saving grace for Notre Dame, though. I think South Carolina ranks outside the top 100 in rushing defense.
Yes.
And when Notre Dame is on, it's running the ball. You talked about the offensive line, Tim. I think those two older guys play because I think it's an interesting situation because coaches want everyone to play in a bowl game, right? In their ideal situation, Michael Mayer's playing in this game. Isaiah Foskey's playing in this game. But obviously, these two guys aren't starting for Notre Dame next year. It would be a little bit hypocritical for the coaching staff to say, hey, we don't want you guys to play. I don't think they're going to do that to Josh Lugg and Jarrett Patterson. I think they play. I think Notre Dame's at full strength in the running game with the running backs and the offensive line. And if Notre Dame's going to win this game, it's going to win at running the ball for sure.
Tim, any thoughts?
No, you're losing Mayer. He was the offense this year. There's one play in the SC game, one of the big catches in SC. He has four guys on him, four guys just hovering around him. So many of his highlights this year were just guys swarming to him, and they're not going to have that, which may be a good thing because now everyone's spread out and you can't really – because we all know Drew Pine looked at Mayer like crazy, which is fine. You know, he's the best – he was their weapon. He was their main guy. But, no Mayer is kind of like not having Kyren Williams last year. You know, they couldn't run the darn ball whatsoever in that bowl game. They didn't even try because they didn't have Kyren Williams. So it's almost like the opposites this year with the pass game and last year was the running game. So I'm curious if Buckner is going to – if he's full on healthy, it's almost like a Blake Fisher situation, right? Blake Fisher's out with the knee injury. We're not going to see him till spring ball. I mean, here we were with the Tyler Buckner thing. Is he going to take any hits whatsoever in the spring? Correct. He was never thought of to play until someone just happened to ask a question to Coach Freeman just a couple of weeks ago. He says, "Oh yeah, he's fine. He's going to be ready to go." And it's like, whoa, is this real or is it Freeman just, hyping up his guys, loving his guys up and whatnot? So if Buckner is good to go and 100%, they're obviously not going to run Tim Tebow offense. They're not going to run power runs and counters and things of that nature. I hope not.
Who the hell knows?
Hey, I would love for them to do what they do with Caleb Williams, Caleb just runs the ball in the red zone because you have to account for him, meaning you got cover zero everywhere else. So that'll be interesting if they do that. But it's going to be – with Patterson and Lugg, I think those two guys are the key because no guard has played this year. So it would be like a total spring game free-for-all with those guards and Zeke, Fisher, and Alt trying to manage, twists and stuff like that with these guys and Buckner coming back from an injury, getting his head kicked in. So if the two old guys are going to play, that's good news for Tyler and Steven Jelly if he gets in.
Think about it from just a storyline perspective. If it were kind of what we would have expected, right? Pine plays in the game, your transfers aren't going to play, your Mayer is obviously not playing. Let's just say Foskey's not playing. I think that's safe to assume. It's fine. It's a bowl game, but it kind of feels like Iowa State in 2019. It's hard to get too excited about it. But Buckner coming back. Oh my gosh. This is a fascinating game now for me. What he looks like is it's going to be like a preview for next season, right? Because he struggled. Obviously, against Marshall, the whole offense struggled against Ohio State. I actually thought he played a pretty good game against the Buckeyes. But we get to – okay, so after the first two games, it's like, the offensive line wasn't doing too well. If that front five plays, this is – we get to see Tyler Buckner. Of course, he's not going to have Mayer, but he won't have Mayer next year. No. So it's a great little preview and – maybe like a little audition for next season. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, you mentioned Mayer not being there, and I feel bad for Buckner almost in that the first game of the year and the second game of the year, the offensive line was terrible. You mentioned it, and he was kind of hung out to dry. And everyone likes to blame the quarterback in situations where the offense isn't playing very well. And he made some poor throws, especially against Marshall.
Yeah.
You have to pin both of those interceptions on him probably, but a lot of those mistakes weren't his fault. I mean, Tim broke down the film. I remember breaking down the Ohio State film, and I remember it was Zeke Correll and Josh Lugg, or maybe it was Andrew Krzyzewski at the time because Jarrett Patterson wasn't playing. Yeah. And they just let a guy go. It wasn't even like a turnstile. It was as if there was a door frame and the door wasn't there yet, and they just let the guy go straight through. It was a free-for-all. You're not going to have that with Buckner this time, but, again, you're not going to have Mayer. And I know you're not going to have him next year, so – but I think the receiving core is going to be better next year. You think that Notre Dame is going to get a graduate transfer at wide receiver, right? They should, or at least a transfer. I am very high on these wide receivers that are coming in as freshmen. I think at least a couple of them can play right away. So just getting back to Buckner, it kind of stinks that the three games that we're going to see him in are all in unique situations, because the first couple, the offensive line was terrible. This one, you're not going to have Michael Mayer. And you don't have an Eli Raridan either. You don't have a Kevin Bauman to be a safety net at tight end. We haven't seen Mitchell Evans catch a pass. He has not caught a pass all year. The only other tight end other than Michael Mayer and Kevin Bauman to catch a pass this year. Here's more trivia. You guys probably know this one. It's one guy and it's one catch.
Stays.
Holden Stays has one catch.
4 yards, I think, right?
11 yards or so. So it's going to be interesting, but I do think you will get a glimpse into what Tyler Buckner can be in this game. If he goes out there and throws for 200 yards, runs for 50 yards, maybe three total touchdowns or so, and is able to manufacture a Notre Dame win, I think people are going to be high on him. Now, you're still probably going to want to take a quarterback transfer, and I know you guys are going to talk about that in a little bit, but that would probably set the tone of that offseason conversation. If Buckner's able to play well in this game, everyone will start to say, okay, we have this guy. Let's bring in this other guy and let them duel it out. Because right now, with the last that we saw of Tyler Buckner, I think the narrative is we need to go get another guy because we don't have one right now. Tyler Buckner can change that if he plays well in this game.
Milton Fan says, hopefully Siles has another good bowl performance. Yeah, after that, you know, the Fiesta Bowl last year, it's like, all right, like he's arrived. And no, not really. So yeah, I completely agreed. Appreciate the two there. Tyler, any other thoughts before you get out of here, man?
No, I just think that it's a really evenly matched bowl game. I'll just end with talking about the Gator Bowl again, because you have two teams that were staring 6-6 in the face. I don't know if people realize that. Notre Dame was 3-3. I know Tim was on a couple of these Wednesday night videos saying, I wouldn't be surprised if they go 6-6. Syracuse ends up being not as good as Notre Dame, I think we'll say. And Notre Dame played an excellent game against Clemson. It deserved to win that game. That's how Notre Dame got to 8-4. You look at South Carolina, the way they get to 8-4 is by what you guys talked about, beating two top 10 teams to end the season. And I talked about the quarterback things, but you still have to go out there and beat those teams. South Carolina did. What do you get as a result? Two ranked teams, as Tim, you were saying, right?
I saw a tweet about that. Someone had posted since 2006.
It's crazy. Yeah. And I think you have two good teams, a good matchup. And normally the Gator Bowl isn't appointment viewing, but when you get Notre Dame, you get an SEC program led by someone with college football blood like Shane Beamer. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in this game on December 30th.
Yeah.
Isn't it the only game that day too, correct?
I think so. I was looking at the schedule. Yeah. If it's not the only one, it's the one that people are going to want to watch.
Yeah. Yes. You got two little numbers by the name, so that helps. Yeah. You got ranked teams. So
yes, it's going to be a fun game for Notre Dame. And like Tyler said, a little audition, so to speak, as you were talking as well, Mike, for next year. And, you know, because there are a lot of guys coming back next year. I mean, as much as we talk about these guys leaving, the huge portion of this football team can't, as long as they don't hit the portal like everyone else, it's like in college football.
Hold your breath till mid-January. You got to hold your breath till mid-January.
But it's like a big chunk of these guys are all coming back with a lot of playing experience. A lot of young guys played this year. Sophomores, Rose. I mean, look at Jaden Thomas, the way his development. Deion Colsey came from nowhere land the last month of the year. So it could be a really good, solid football team next year. And I think this game, playing a ranked South Carolina game, is going to be awesome.
Totally agree.
Tyler? Fantastic audition here. Talk about Tyler Buckner and maybe the audition for next year. Yeah, how about Tyler Horka and his audition and his initial view, initial guest appearance on our show? Appreciate you joining us, my man.
See you guys.
Take care. All right, that's Tyler Horka, Blue and Gold Illustrated. BlueandGold.com does a fantastic job covering Notre Dame football. A couple comments. All right. So Mike says that Portsmouth, VA is not near Virginia Beach. It's 24 minutes. All right. I mean, come on. It's 24 minutes. I say I live in Atlanta, and I'm not even 24 minutes from Atlanta. So it is near Virginia Beach.
Mike, I will vouch for you being, you know, born and raised in Southern California. 24 minutes to anywhere is a luxury.
His area code is 757. I mean, so when I see 757, I think Virginia Beach. So
there you go.
Anyways, I digress. Do appreciate the comment though, Mike. It's time for a sponsor. Let's talk about Rogue Shop. Give Tim a quick break. Folks, so last Wednesday I had a dental surgery and was in a lot of pain. I got pain meds, but I'm not going to lie, some Rogue Shop products helped me out even more than those pain meds. So definitely appreciate the folks at Rogue Shop for their products, and definitely want to tell our listeners and video viewers about Rogue Shop, which is a husband and wife outfit, as Mr. Rogue and his wife Char are craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. They farm and grow everything themselves, and they do everything by hand. Their website to visit is rogueshop.com. Amazing products, folks. Really, whatever you're looking for in this realm, they have. And the owners are fantastic. When you buy product, Char will handwrite you notes to explain, you know, if this is your first time using these things, these kind of products, she will explain exactly what you should be doing, how much you should be taking. So folks, from stress, anxiety, pain, insomnia, they have products for you. So folks, their goal is holistic healing, making your life better. If you suffer from stress, insomnia, if you, you know, looking to reduce inflammation, anxiety, mood disorders, I needed some good night's sleep this week. And Rogue Shop definitely helped me out there. So folks, please do head to rogueshop.com. And let's find that. There it is. Promo code Bloom and Gold. Head to rogueshop.com. That'll get you 10% off your order. rogueshop.com. Alrighty, let's bring back Tim Hyde. Let's talk a little transfers now. And folks, if you're just joining us live, please do hit the thumbs up on this video. Help support what we're doing here at Blue and Gold, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and be one of the over 20,000 subscribers we already have, which is mind-blowing to me. I remember it was right before COVID hit. Like, I'm talking, it was like March 1st. We're talking 10 days before COVID. I went out and saw Tyler Buckner was back when we were at Rivals. Saw him at the Rivals camp. He won quarterback MVP and posted a video on it. And that was back when we had like 2,000 subscribers, 2,500. It was a dead YouTube channel. And that was not that long ago. And now we're at 20,000. It's amazing. And I appreciate you folks for, joining us on this journey. But yeah, let's talk a little transfer portal, Tim.
Flip a coin.
Yeah. It's wild. There seems to be a few positions they're really looking at closely. Quarterback, receiver, I think they want a Viper. Interior defensive lineman, they're going after the Western Michigan guy. Just kind of thoughts on Notre Dame in the portal so far?
Yeah, I mean, number one, you know, what they've only – did they offer the Western Michigan guy? I know, I heard they offered the two wide receivers and the D-lineman now, right?
So yeah, you know, yeah, Braden Fiske. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you know, so that's – you know, three offers, and obviously the receiver, you know, at Kent State, and then the Iowa kid who's out in Nebraska. So, you know, all good football players. It's only been a couple of days, so I guess I'm not too surprised. I guess I seem surprised, but not too surprised that there hasn't been a few others out there, because quite a few have thrown their names in there, unless they're just, you know, just buying time to maybe do some due diligence on a few others, you know, like, you know, I'm thinking like some of these grad transfers, some of these Stanford guys are out there, some really good Stanford football players that are out there that I know Notre Dame recruited way back when. So don't know if they're going to go after them, but wide receivers huge, just because, you know, obviously you're losing, you know, Lindsey, you know, Salerno, people could say what they want, but the guy played in every darn game. So they're losing him. That's two, you know, that's two older guys. You know, we just mentioned Colsey, Thomas, you know, you got Styles, you know, they got three there, Merriweather, there's your four, those are your four upperclassmen now. So, you know, what are the odds that four true freshmen, which Notre Dame's bringing in, that four of those guys are going to play? I mean, it's a rarity. They may have to play because of numbers, which means they have to go out and get themselves one, maybe two wide receivers to throw into that room, some older guys. You know, I would not be surprised if they take two. Quarterback is a must just because of the depth. It's basically what it is. I mean, you know, I look out, I was chatting with some guys today on the message board, like, you know, and I look at it like, you know, not to be negative Nancy here, is it more to do with your guy, Steven? I don't want to say your guy, Mike, but Steve Angeli. Is it more to do with Angeli, as in they have to have a guy because someone has to be number two, whether that's the transfer or Tyler Buchner, someone has to be two, because is Steve Angeli not ready to be number two? That's what I guess I'm trying to say. So if they don't take a transfer, Angeli or Minchie are going to be number two. So does that put Notre Dame back in this situation they were this year with the Drew Pine, which playing a guy they don't think is the guy. So I think that goes back to this whole transfer portal thing is huge for Notre Dame, because you really need two quarterbacks ready at all times. And this year, that's the other thing. Kudos to Drew Pine for the guy started 10 games, Mike, and finished 10 games. So yeah, that's huge. You know, there's no injury issues, no nothing with him. The game he did get hit the hardest was UNLV, and he came back and finished the thing. So kudos to Drew Pine for starting and finishing the 10 football games he did. So, and the other positions, the Viper is the biggie because of Foskey. And does, you know, Justin Adamiola leave? You know, does he not come back for a six? Meaning Burnham, Gobira, is it Botello? Is it, do they move Junior Tulialamaka? Now you're looking at possible four guys that have never played that position having to start in 2023. Goes to your point of getting an older guy. So definitely a few spots. I look at his safety one, unless they have confidence in Ramon Henderson and Xavier Watts. I love, he's going to be a stud at strong safety. Or are they just going to go with these freshmen coming in and be like, one of you guys is definitely in the two deep or playing, which is Bowen, obviously, is the most gifted guy.
Yeah. They got five-star Peyton Bowen supposed to be coming in January, but
knock on wood,
we'll see.
Knock on steel, wood, you know, plastic, knock on everything. Right.
Do have a couple of super chats and even questions from our blue and gold message board about like specific transfer portal quarterbacks. Joey asked what QB in the portal is the best fit for Notre Dame offensive scheme wise. I'll get my thoughts on this first. Unless it's like a triple option quarterback, it's just for me, just bring in the best. Like there's no like dual threat pro style anymore. You have to be able to move and you have to be able to throw the football. Like to me, it's just who's the best, unless Notre Dame's running a triple option, which they're not. You can have a Jack Cohn to a Tyler Buchner. I don't care. I just need a good quarterback. What do you think, Tim?
No, I'm with you. It's like all these guys are out there. They're not, you know, stick in the muds. They're all, you know, it's really good football players. You know, they all have their flaws and whatnot. Cause once again, that's why you're transferring. Right? You're not transferring because you're the starter in your first team all conference. Oh, I'm going to get the hell out of here. It's like guys are leaving for reasons. That's the transfer, correct? Not a lot of guys out there that are, unless it's one in Chapel Hill, but
yeah, he's not. He tweeted today he's sticking with UNC, like as we were recording this video. So
even with their offensive coordinator, who I heard
not entering the portal. Yeah,
he may not enter the portal, but he may go somewhere, right? Via not the portal, but no, I hear you. I know what you're saying, Mike. No, I believe it. If he tweeted it, hey, I hope he stays because I hope he doesn't go down south. If you know what I'm saying, so I hope he does stay. That'd be great. As far as these quarterbacks go, they're good players. I mean, the talk of the town's been Carr. Oh, let me see this.
Hold on. Yeah, you said could never leave this place. I'm a Tar Heel, so I think that's pretty clear. But yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, that's pretty. Is that Sabanix when he left the Dolphins? Is that out there with the – if he leaves after post – oh, yeah, that's right. You're a Dolphin guy. If he leaves after posting that, then, yeah, there you go. I would put the Drake May traveling the world off. So that's good. But as far as quarterbacks, so obviously the guys being mentioned, Card is outstanding. Leary from NC State, injury issues. But you got Leary and Armstrong out of UVA, whether ND's interested, just throwing names out there, obviously. Yeah. Both these guys had they were all conference quarterbacks in 21. Outstanding quarterbacks, big time quarterbacks, you know, but they got issues and whatnot. You know, does Armstrong just go with his OC who's at Syracuse? Does he go wherever he wants to go? You know, Leary with the injury you and I talked about a week ago. I see as a coach, I would find it hard to take a guy who you're not going to see until the summer. How does he work with with his pec injury? He's not going to throw in the spring. So how does he mix and match in that quarterback room? Unless he's going to be a 6-year guy, he's an old vet. You know, if he's not the guy in camp, we know he's our number two. So, you know, maybe that's what they're thinking with him, just being an older presence. And then you have, it's like, what quarterback's not out there? There's like 100 of them. You know, I heard that. Oh, I like the Oklahoma State guy. I saw a tweet. Yo, there's a guy. Yeah, he's asking. He was all Big 12 last year.
Yeah, that's also. I've been making the same point. I think I don't remember what show it was on. I do so many. I said, like in the NFL, when someone is becoming a free agent, there's a reason, right? Yeah. Like, why? What's going on here? But there's so many good quarterbacks in the portal. Like, seriously, take any of like the top 10, 15 quarterbacks in the portal. I'd be fine as
well. Exactly. Spencer Sanders was all conference. I don't know his situation this year. I know they were a mess at Oklahoma State. I don't pretend to watch them and break them down. I didn't this year. So they were top 10 earlier and then became a mess. So I didn't follow them for 5 seconds this year. He's a heck of a quarterback. So I don't know if they have a backup, if they have another guy in mind. Or does he just want to get out of Dodge and be a grad transfer? Excuse me. So, the quarterbacks Notre Dame was chatting about last year, right, for 30 seconds. Slovis is back in. JT Daniels is back in, you know, which is just crazy. I'm surprised. One name, you know, being a Southern California guy, I'm surprised Miller Moss hasn't put his name out there out of USC because he's not going to play next year. And they got a five, you know. My favorite quarterback in the class, Malachi Nelson, coming in. So I'm surprised he hasn't put his name out there. And he's a high academic kid, great academic student. He is.
Where did he go to high school?
He went to Alamany. Alamany and transferred last second to Modern Day, and then COVID hit and he didn't play
right
in the season.
He would have been a teammate of Tui Alamaka then, right?
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. So that's I'm just throwing out a name. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Guy that coached him during his youth. Yeah, I should text him and see what Miller's doing. So I know one of his close friends. But no, there's good quarterbacks. Whoever Notre Dame gets, they're going to get a good football player. But I also believe Tyler Buchner is a good football player. I think they still have good football. It's not like Notre Dame is in dire, desperate need for someone. They need a body, though, is what it is.
I just wonder if, let's say Notre Dame brings in Hudson Card or Devin Leary or Brandon Armstrong, a guy who – well, any of those guys are ready, or Spencer Sanders, anybody, they're ready to start day one, right? Like, they're coming in to start. It's not like you're bringing in a FCS quarterback who grew up a Notre Dame fan and he just wants to be on the roster. What does Tyler Buchner think? It's fascinating. I know Mike Goolsby on our Blue and Gold message board. Just another reason to sign up, folks. $10. Get your access to the start next football season. Goolsby broke down Card versus Buchner. Yeah. If you regularly watch the Goolsby show, you'll know where he was leaning on it. But so that's interesting. But from the Buchner perspective, very, very interesting. This quarterback spot for Notre Dame is always interesting, right, Tim? But more fascinating than ever.
You know, but with the Buchner thing, it's got to be. I mean, he's got to be realistic, Mike. He's been here two football seasons, and he's been injured multiple times. I mean, let's don't forget, he didn't play in the Wisconsin game last year because he had a sprained ankle. He didn't play in the Fiesta Bowl because he had hamstring issues during Blue Gold game, sprains an ankle, misses the last, two practices during Blue Gold game week. And And then obviously he plays seven quarters this year and he's out. And if he comes back and he's healthy, I've gone back and rewatched his first two games. I rewatched, a big fan of his Virginia Tech last year. He was a great, had great, the game sealing touchdown against USC in 2021, being out there, his touchdown pass against North Carolina in South Bend in 2021. He's had really good moments. He's a really good quarterback. At the same time, he's been injured nonstop. So it's like, you have to account for that. And if Buckner, if the guy beats him out, Buckner has to just realize, I'm still only a junior. I'm still only in my third year. You know, I still have a red shirt. They got it, an older guy here. I would, let's say it's Card. Let's just throw his name out there. The Texas quarterback. He was a national top 75 recruit. Heck of an athlete, heck of a quarterback. If he's the guy, I would anticipate somehow, some way, Buckner's still going to be involved. He's too athletic not to be involved. So some form of a package. Is it a 2021 scenario once again? So do they do that? Even though Card's a heck of an athlete and a heck of a runner, but Buckner is so dynamic with his legs. Maybe that's a positive for the 2023 season to have two quarterbacks playing each and every game and bring so much to the table.
Oh, we had a super chat from Sonny Robinson who says, Coach Prime will become the most feared man in college football behind the portal. Your favorite college team isn't safe.
I will say, I've had a couple guys play in Boulder, a couple guys I've coached that have played in Colorado. Number one,
I used to cover the Buffs for a couple years. Yeah.
Exactly. Number one, it is, it's in Boulder, Colorado. So it's a, beautiful, town, beautiful city out there outside of Denver and whatnot. But it is hard to get into there. He's not going to just bring anyone in that could get into there. So academics are important to Colorado. So they're not going to be getting.
It's not Notre Dame, but.
Yeah. It's not Notre Dame, but it is. I'm telling you, having guys that have gone there, and I've had guys turned away from Colorado that I'm like, you're turning this guy away in his transcript. So it is, it's a little different than people assume. Being, oh, it's just Colorado, because people think, oh, Notre Dame can't get Stanford and whatnot, all the high level. Colorado is up there. The most feared man, he's the most hyped man. I mean, the whole Colorado football Twitter page is nothing but hypes about how many people are downloading his stuff and whatnot. All right, that's great. It's not going to win a football game. So Colorado's been so bad, they got to retool everything. So, hey, I grew up watching Deion Sanders. I'm excited. He's a hell of a football player. He's done a hell of a job coaching. I'm excited to see what he does in Colorado because, as I said, I've had a couple of guys go there to Colorado and have played and graduated from there. So I'm excited.
Sorry, Tim.
No, go for it.
I'm just yapping work done. I just got this picture of about to hit send here on this tweet.
Oh, nice.
Brandon Hillman. Let's add in four-star Notre Dame, four-star athlete.
Oh, there you go.
Behind the curtain, folks. Mike Singer writing up a tweet. Here's new Notre Dame four-star athlete Brandon Hillman with Irish defense from today's visit.
So, Coach Golden, that means strong safety. Hyde's right. No, I know he recruits that area down there, so that's his recruiting base and whatnot. But I remember we first talked about him in one of our shows, and we're like, how does this guy go from FCS to – Power Hillman? Five. But it's his film. He is like athletic as could be. It's not, when you say, when you talked about this athletic, sometimes you're like, oh, he's just a guy who could run. No, this dude's a football player.
Yeah.
Ball in his hand, playing defense, throwing his quarterback. The guy could sling it. He could run. Dying to see, can he catch? Can he play a slot? Can he play a running back? Whatever the heck they're going to play him at. So he is, he's one of those rare finds in recruiting these days because everything's done so early nowadays.
Yeah, Andrew, I think so. Yeah, that's his understanding. That's what he told me when I got to interview him. So Hillman, the question being, will Hillman get any reps at quarterback?
He's not your typical zone read. No, the dude could play quarterback.
He can throw it like he looks good.
His film, he throws darts on this film. So, yeah, he's not your typical I'm just going to run around, play zone read. And think. No, the guy, he's got some amazing quarterback film.
Yeah, yeah. For an article of Blue and Gold, each time, you know, Notre Dame gets a commitment, I'll do what the experts are saying. So, Tim Hyde. Tim, you're an expert.
Oh, nice. I love it. Thank you.
Tim Hyde, Tom Lemming. If you followed recruiting for a long time, you know who Tom Lemming is. And then Charles Power, who is the director of rankings at On3, our parent company. You know, he's just Power's just raving about him, talking about the film combined with the measurables. At 6'1", 190, ran a 4.7. I mean, and that's a verified time. So, you know, if you're just doing a stopwatch, a 4.7 might turn into a 4.5. You know, like, so a 4.7 at 6'1", 190, the dude can move. And he's got football speed, too. And he's got a 6'5 wingspan, good shuttle time. I wrote in an article today, I'm like, why aren't we talking about him being ranked even higher? I mean, Brandon Hillman, stock up. Stock up.
No, he looks like, I mean, you watch him, you watch his highlight film, and he just looks like a great point guard. You know, just great point guards with the ball in their hands, the control, the body movement he has, that just the natural ability to cut. He's a smooth dude with the ball. He's a man. It's exciting to get a guy like this who came really from nowhere, and he's a hell of a good looking football player. They got a lot of these guys. Like this class, when we talk on signing day, there's athletes everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward. We'll do a signing day show that evening. Yeah. Also want to mention, we have been doing Thursday afternoon recruiting shows. We're moving that to Friday just so we don't have a Wednesday night show and then a Thursday afternoon show. Just space them out a little bit. So Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, myself and Trey Yannity will be live talking Notre Dame football recruiting. So if you're just a diehard recruiting person, right? And say you're listening via podcast. We're not uploading that via podcast. I love you podcast folks, but YouTube just kind of our jam right now. So we always want you to nudge you along to head to YouTube and watch those shows. That'd be great. Tim, we're already an hour in, so we're going to go rapid fire. So no long dialogues because I'm going to get out of here. My wife wants to watch a couple shows tonight. This was asked a half hour before we even started recording. This is a really interesting question, Michael. I hope you're getting to hear this. Mm-hmm. With the CFP expansion, is there talk of increasing the 4-game limit of redshirting? That's a brilliant question. I had not thought about that. That's a really good question, right? Because, yeah, if you're adding in like 3 more games, you know, you'd think that might be up to 5 games. That's interesting. Any thoughts?
No, I saw that actually right before we started, and I was like thinking of that. Is that only for the 12 teams that make it, or is it for everyone included? No, it's a great question because you're adding wear and tear onto these kids, and these guys are only 18 to 22 still, and they're playing more and more football games. So it's a great question. That's obviously the powers that be, but no, it really is a good question. If you're a team that's going to play 3 more football games, that's a – yeah. Yeah, the four limit is interesting. Great question there.
Yeah. And then we had a few from our Blue and Gold message board that I would want to get to. Arrow Fan says, which true freshmen are likely to push for playing time? And if Notre Dame signs Bowen and Gray, how do you see Golden keeping them on the field? If Notre Dame signs Bowen and Gray, how do you see I don't understand the second question. How do you see?
I'm just saying, getting them on the field, getting them in the packages. That's number one, those two guys have to be on the field just because of, you know, Hart's going to be in his last season. You know, Clarence Lewis is up there. If he comes back in his years, obviously you have the two young guys, you know, with Morrison and Jaden Mickey, and then you got Bellamy is left. So, you know, there's a spot for someone to get in. So I would say those two are top 100 football players, long, lean, fast, hell of football players. I would fully expect them to be in the dime package. And I believe they're in spring ball as Mike's posted on Blue and Gold. So I would expect them to at least be in the dime package, meaning they're playing. And my freshman, my pick right now is I'm Brendan Vernon, man. I just love that guy. Love his film, an interior guy, motor. My fingers are crossed. He's the one freshmen. You know, they got 100 skill guys coming in, but Brendan Vernon just because none of these 2022 guys played. So can Vernon come in and pass one of them? But he's a summer guy. So I had Morrison as my sleeper last year. I'm going to go Vernon this year.
Oh, Tim, my phone's blowing up. this is a crazy time. It's just normal. I love the Vernon shout. So going back the past few years, there's always a player who enrolls in the summer and has a big impact. Clarence Lewis, 2020.
Yeah.
Joe Alt, 2021. Yeah. Ben Morrison, 2022. Brendan Vernon, summer enrollee. I think that's a good one. He's a beast.
I love him. I love his film. His film is awesome.
Brendan Vernon is, you know, he's such a unique person. He's just like, I don't care about a lot of this. I just want to hit people. You know, it's like, it's just a good throwback. I don't want to do interviews. I just want to, like, I don't care about the media. I don't care about Twitter. I just want to hit people. You know, like, I want to go get a quarterback. Like, just
awesome. Good.
Been able to meet them. Great family. One of my favorite visits in 10 years of this being in this business was sitting down with Brendan Vernon and talking to him about how the love of Vans, those shoes, helped connect him with the Notre Dame staff because Mark Schirmer loves his fans. So, yeah, great one. All right, a couple more questions. Over under, this is from Irish Thunder on our message board, over under 200 yards passing for Tyler Buckner in the bowl game.
I'll say under. I'll say 195. How's that?
Yeah, I would say under. But if it's all-purpose yards, might go over. But, man, that's still so fascinating. Just that he is going to be
– Oh, it's crazy, Mike. It really is.
My true freshman likely to push for playing time? Give me Jaden Greathouse.
Like I said, we said this earlier, is one of those four has to get in the two deep. And I think with his – where he's coming from, the offense, the level of play he plays in Texas, he has to come in being the odds-on favorite to be number one out of that group of four.
And then lastly, UND Irish 3 on our message board said, opinion on Brandon Joseph, does he stay or go off in the NFL? What do you think he'll do, Tim?
I've always thought he's leaving. I've always said he's going to do his one and done. He's got his degree, Northwestern, you know, all the credits from there. Came to Notre Dame to go pro. I could see because, you know, he's been there the longest. He wants to stay another year. I wouldn't be surprised if Joseph leave. I would put $2 saying he goes. If he comes back, great, because I think safety is one of those little wiggle areas that they may need some help next year. So I would say he leaves. That's my gut.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. Appreciate everyone who's watched along this entire time. Make sure you hit that thumbs up before you get out of here. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, join our 20,000 strong and our YouTube subscribers and sign up for that totally free. You just need a YouTube Gmail account and you can do that. Head to blueandgold.com for all the coverage of Notre Dame athletics. Very busy time in recruiting, just 2 weeks, 14 days until National Signing Day. So we'll have you covered, and especially with transfer portal news, what's going on there. I'll do our best to keep you. I did post on the board today a receiver name to keep an eye on from the transfer portal. So trying to keep you updated there as well. Folks, again, I appreciate you, and we'll catch you next time.